What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. And every Monday we do something called Metric Mondays. The goal is to give you a short little podcast with some metrics that if you use them, they will improve your practice and your life. And today is a great one. It's called Perio Visit Percentage. Now, my hope is you share this with your team and you have a conversation about it. This is one of those metrics we look at as a coaching team, and it really tells us a ton about how healthy the patients are getting and how healthy the practice is getting. And I have my amazing co-host on today. Her name is Miranda Beeson, and she shows us what it measures, its impact on the practice, and how to improve it. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and I hope you enjoy your week. We'll see you soon, everybody. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Are you awake? Because it's Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. And I hope you're ready for another amazing week. And you know what today is? Today's Monday. Monday. And on Monday, our job is to bring you something to make you think, to help you improve your practice and your life. And if you've been tuning in on Mondays, it's called Metric Mondays. And I have my amazing co-host. Her name is Miranda Beeson. Not only is she a great friend, she's brilliant. She's an awesome coach. She is also a member of our leadership team and the director of education around here. She keeps us on our toes. And we're going to continue down the path. Last week, we talked about periodiagnostic percentage and perioacceptance percentage. And today, Miranda, where are we going?
Today, we're talking about perio visit percentage. So today we're going to tie in some concepts from last week, but look at the general picture and say, what percentage of the total hygiene visits that we have in a given period of time that we're measuring are periodontal therapy or periodontal maintenance appointments compared to prophy? So we're looking at, out of the total number of visits I saw as a hygienist, say this week, what percentage of those were prophy versus what percentage were either treating or maintaining some form of periodontal infection, from gingivitis all the way up to true active periodontitis. So we're looking at this number to understand, how does our practice measure up against our population as a whole when we look at what we know about periodontal health? And what we know is that majority of the general population is healthy. So in our practice, we should have about 60% of our patients that are in this prophy or preventative realm. And then once we move outside of healthy, the general population tells us that adults over 30 are going to be somewhere between probably 40 and 50% of the population having active or having had periodontal disease or gingivitis of some sort. And once we get into older generations, 65 and on up, we know that it's somewhere above 60%, sometimes 70% of the population that has some form of gum disease. So in our practice, those numbers should be paralleled so that the population kind of matches. And so 60% of our patients approximately should fit somewhere in that preventative prophy realm. About 30% of our patients are probably going to fall into periodontal maintenance, and then 10% in some form of active therapy, which we're looking at full mouth debridement, possibly gingivitis therapy, or some scaling and root planing, some active periodontal therapy.
Yeah. See, this is really important. Now, I always like to start with the why and how does it truly impact the practice? Because if you're a dentist and a team member, and you get this, it changes the game for you and your patients. So why is this important?
Yeah, so it's funny that you say that, because when I was a hygienist, I was working in a practice where I was the only hygienist, and I didn't really understand this concept. And I was able to receive some coaching, because I was still a pretty young hygienist, on how all of this works and how it fits into the grander picture. And so over the years, being able to layer upon that and then teach it to others makes me really excited. So I love that we're doing this today, because this metric helps to tell us how our patients are being diagnosed, how they're being treated, how they're being maintained around periodontal health, and knowing that we're not ignoring that or sometimes avoiding those harder conversations, either because we're not comfortable or because we just don't have time. So a higher perio visit percentage tells us, hey, we're doing a great job of looking at the patient as an individual, customizing and creating treatment plans based on what we're seeing right now. We're diagnosing things when we see it, we're treating it when it's appropriate, and then we're maintaining those patients and coding everything out properly when we're in the maintenance realm. If we have a low perio visit percentage, sometimes it just means that we're underdiagnosing. Like we mentioned last week and we've mentioned before, we may be providing some of these more advanced gingivitis therapy or even some localized perio services during a prophy and then charging it as a prophy, right? Delivering champagne, but charging for water. And so if it's low, it may suggest underdiagnosis. It may suggest poor patient follow through. It may suggest that we have a gap even in the financial treatment presentation. Maybe we did a great job building value in the back, but we just didn't close the deal when it came to figuring out how to take care of the payment side of things. If the team's defaulting to prophys out of habit, you know, when we open a schedule and we see prophy exam bite wings, prophy exam bite wings, and there's no perio mixed in there, there's likelihood that we're missing out on some things. So this metric can directly impact patient health outcomes, which is really the most important thing to remember, is if a patient has the early signs of disease, if we can manage that now, they're going to be healthier in the long run. They're going to minimize expenses and procedures and issues, which is going to create loyalty and retention for them here in our practice. They'll be grateful that we're able to help them manage these disease processes. And our hygiene department in the end is then going to be a lot more profitable, which carries over into the whole practice. Healthy practices are somewhere between 35 and 45% of hygiene visits as a perio-related procedure. That's going to reflect on, like we mentioned earlier, that population of the general public falling somewhere in that same realm. So if you aren't at 35 or 45%, like, don't beat yourself up. It is not uncommon for us to go help an amazing practice and they're at 3 or 4%. And we just need to stop and look at the data and the evidence and calibrate a little bit and get to a point where we're doing a little better job every single day with bringing these conversations to our patients.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. 31 years of doing this, we've worked with some of the best dental practices in the United States that have been to the best training ever. And not to knock the training, they just come back and they just can't get everyone calibrated on that. So we have an amazing practice come in. They're amazing producers. They've done all the CE in the world and 3% perio. It's not unusual. And that becomes one of the major elements for their clinical team and the doctor team to get on the same page. And it's amazing when it goes from 3% to 10%, then to 13%. You don't have to go to 35%, but quarter over quarter, you get everybody aligned. It is amazing its impact. I could actually pull our OGT, which is our objective goals and targets, tool for all of our practices. And I could probably guess more than half of them have this initiative on it to grow their perio visit percentage. So, Miranda, if I'm listening to this and I'm a dentist and I am in that category, 3, 4, maybe 8%, what are some of the countermeasures? What should I do?
Well, the first thing that I would say is that anytime that conversation comes up, we have to eliminate a little bit of like the shame or the guilt of, you know, but I've been seeing these patients forever. What do you mean? There's always this little pushback of like, are you trying to say I'm not doing a good job taking care of my patients? Like, no. It's just once we open our eyes and look at things differently or see or know things differently, like once we know better, we do better. So aligning around some continuing education, understanding where that diagnosis comes from, what are the new classifications, staging and grading, and really getting calibrated around all of that so that we can just support each other in the way that we're making these diagnoses moving forward. We talked a little bit last week about just starting off with understanding what healthy is. So aligning as a team, hygienists, doctors, like what do we say is healthy? When someone's in our chair having their periodontal evaluation, what are the things that we're going to see show up clinically to tell us this is a healthy periodontium? So makes complete sense for them to stay in this preventative realm, having their prophy every 3, 4, 6 months, whatever we deem is most appropriate. If it's not that, what is it and what do we do? And so that's the piece where a lot of people get hung up. Most practices can identify what healthy is, and then the challenge is, but what if it's not healthy? What do we do? So a really simple thing to do as a team is to create a very basic decision tree, a nice little diagram, super simple. It's, is this patient healthy? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, then we're going to follow that decision tree right over to, okay, well, what are the things that we're seeing? And we can use the AAP, the American Academy of Periodontology, their guidelines around how we diagnose perio to build this decision tree. And if we're seeing certain things here, that means we're going to probably do gingivitis therapy next. And that's the next step. It's that simple. If we're seeing this, that, or the other, then we're going to go down this path of scaling or root planing or active therapy. And you can have something like this decision tree printed, laminated. It's inside, you know, the cabinet door and every op as you're starting to have these conversations, because it can be tricky when you're on the fly. And like you mentioned, time is often against us and not working for us when we're a hygiene team, or the doctor's coming in for an exam and they have all of 3 minutes to calibrate with the hygienist on what happened. So if we can have a little cheat sheet like that decision tree in every op that we can reference, that can make it a lot easier. And then on the backside of that, if this is something you're working on, just pull 3 to 5 cases randomly, just at random, pull some cases, make sure you have the health history so that you understand systemically what the patient's managing, their x-rays, their photographs, intraoral or extraoral photos, if you have them, obviously their periodontal chart, full periodontal chart with all the recordings and measurements. And then everyone reviews the information and kind of blindly comes up with their own treatment plan following your decision tree, and then calibrate, compare what you discerned through all of that data that you analyzed and what did you treatment plan, and just see how close you are to one another on calibration around what do we do when it's not healthy. And you get some really great discussion that comes up from those calibration conversations. You learn a lot from each other, and you also learn where and if there are any gaps in your learning. And sometimes it means we need to go out and seek some new continuing education. Sometimes we know everything we need to know. The education's been there. We go, we seek it out, but we don't have systems in place in the practice, or we don't have the time we need to really implement it. And that might be the gap that we recognize during this calibration activity. But the easiest thing to do is align on what healthy is, make a quick, easy decision tree. When it's not that, what do we do? And then just do some calibration, some follow-up on cases. New patients are always the easiest because they're new. We don't have a history with them. We don't have to approach that conversation of like, why have you never brought this up to me before? And those trickier conversations. But those are totally manageable when you bring the patient into the conversation. They can see what you see. It's not like the car, you know, we always talk about going to get our oil changed and they come out and say, you need to do this too. And you need to do that too. If they can see what you're seeing and they're an active participant in the evaluation process, they're going to be right there alongside of you when you're making that diagnosis, and they want to be healthy. Most of them really look to you as the expert to take good care of them, and they want to hear what you have to say, and they do want to be healthy. That's the experience I've had.
That is so well said, Miranda. I love this. And so I think you would agree, this isn't going away. You know, it's going to be here forever. And again, I feel like the old person always, as long as I've been doing this, you look at all the things that have ever changed or influenced dentistry. The systemic link and the airway conversation are probably two of the biggest positive disruptions we've ever seen. This becomes an awesome opportunity to add more value to the world, to your patients, to your team members. And I'll just pile on here too and add this. If you haven't read Beat the Heart Attack Gene by Bale and Donin, start there, read that. You can give that to your friends that don't know anything about dentistry and they'll go, this is amazing. We used to say it could be, it might be linked. Now we know. We have a ton of research now that shows what goes on in your mouth has a great deal with how you live your life. And it also helps you.
Kirk, I'll layer on that really quick and I'll keep it short.
Please.
Stay on our nice bite-sized
nugget, it short.
Metric Monday. But I'll challenge any provider, any hygienist, that if you're not asking and looking at those very specific aspects of a patient's health history, if we're just going through the motions of any changes since you were in last time, no, great, no changes, and we move on, we're missing this key component of risk factor, which is really where that staging and grading, a big piece of that was so that we would start looking at the whole picture and not just that pocket depth. And so if you're not asking about A1C, it's not that hard to just ask and make a little note in your template that says A1C. And you can say NA if it's not applicable because the patient doesn't have to worry about that. But if appointment over appointment, you're tracking someone's A1C and now you're starting to see periodontal changes and you're seeing that A1C number is now over 7 and it never used to be, you can start having those conversations with your patients. If you see that they're on blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medicine, diabetes medicine, like all SSRIs, things like that, we can start to look at the big picture and say, okay, before I even look in this patient's mouth, I can see they're at risk for periodontal disease. So I need to be looking really with a fine tooth comb when I'm going through this evaluation and making sure I'm connecting the dots for the patient. Because I promise you, their medical doctor is not talking to them about going to the dentist or when was the last time they were cleaning between their teeth or managing bacteria in their mouth when they're prescribing them their next 3 months of medication. So it's really our responsibility to make sure we're helping them understand that correlation. That's our area of expertise. So we just need to own it.
So well said. Oh my gosh, you just opened up a couple of thoughts. We could turn this into an hour-long conversation. That is brilliant, Miranda. And it helps reinforce the fact, like, there are people that fix teeth and there are people that change lives. It's not the same business. And the cool part about being a provider is you get to decide how much you want to impact those people you serve. And this metric becomes an important piece to it, which is perio visit percentage. Miranda, that was amazing. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening. We're so grateful that you guys keep showing up, keep sharing this with over 100,000 unique listeners and over 900 episodes. We have 9,000 more because we love this stuff. We're going to keep bringing it all the time. We could talk for hours and days on all of this stuff. We won't, but we'll start with Metric Mondays today. So hope you guys enjoyed that. A great thing to do if this is a challenge in your practice is share this podcast with your team members and say, hey, listen, I just want to have a conversation. It starts the conversation. You can also go back in the Best Practices Association. We actually have an app now. You can start the journey for free, whether you're on Apple or you're on Android. You can go to those respective stores and search Best Practices Association. You can start for free. And then if you upgrade to premium, you're going to see there's a whole bunch of resources, webinars. We've got masterclasses back there, and we'll keep adding to them. So make sure you check that out. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your Monday. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.